Whether you drive a car,
need a car,
or just occasionally bum a ride with friends,
you've come to the right place.
Join Joe and Tom as they break down everything that's going on in the auto world.
New car reviews,
shopping tips,
driving green,
electric cars,
classic cars,
and plenty of great guests.
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, this is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I am Tom Appel. Thanks for joining us today. When you get a chance, do me a solid. Check us out at consumerguide.com. While you're there, check out our 2024 Best Buy picks. If you're looking for a new car or truck, or know somebody who is looking for a new car or truck, they should check out this list. Also, you can listen to back episodes of the podcast right there on our homepage. I highly recommend it, but I even more highly recommend just subscribing. Right, Jill?
Maybe.
That's easier.
Yeah.
All right, she is the Associate Senior Director of Culinary Product Development at Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. She is a North American Car of the Year juror and a freelancer. Hey, Jill.
Hey, so you've just completely given up on my title altogether.
I have, yeah. I don't remember your title. I vaguely remember where you work.
Oh, yes, yes. But, you know, I mean, I think I would be a really good culinary director. I like to cook. I like to eat.
You guys are getting interesting at Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. You wrote a piece, or someone wrote a piece there about the BYD Seagull.
Yep, that was me.
We should talk about that later if we have time, or next week, because that's an interesting vehicle. Absolutely matters.
Yep.
Not on sale here yet.
Nope.
May never be, but it can change things.
Yes.
It's a big deal.
Yes.
All right, later in the show, I'm very excited. My good friend Jamie Butters, the executive editor of Automotive News, joins us. I've never met Jamie, but I feel like we're buds.
I know.
I listen to his podcast every single day. They've added a Saturday podcast.
They have. They've got the weekend drive.
Yeah, which is very good because they just go back and recap the stories of the week.
Yeah, I was listening to the weekend drive from this past weekend, this morning, on my daily walk.
I listen on Saturday. Saturdays, I go out and test drive the car I have extensively.
Okay.
Like, I'll go out and put 50, 60, 70 miles on a car on Saturday. And I usually catch up on my podcasts when I do that. So.
And that would be one of them.
Yep. You're back from vacation?
Yes.
What did I just say?
I don't know. What did you say?
Wow. Totally don't pop lewds before the podcast.
Oh, man. Yeah,
you are back from vacation.
I am back from vacation. And I am severely jet lagged.
And you were in Milwaukee.
I wish. No, I don't wish.
You were in Spain.
I was in France and I was in Spain.
That's cool.
Yeah. We got back last night at 8 p.m. So if I start snoring during the podcast, I apologize. You need to work harder to keep me engaged.
I know people who love Spain. There's a woman I know at the health club who vacations in Mallorca every year.
Yes. No, we were in Barcelona, or Barcelona, if with the Catalan th. But we did a river cruise in France. We started in Lyon and ended up in, I think it was Arles. We ended up in Arles. And then we took the train, fast train. We took the fast train over to Barcelona. We spent 3 days there. So, it was a great trip. It was our first big vacation post-pandemic.
Did you see any Seat Cupra vehicles?
I did.
Yeah.
I mentioned to you, I was like, oh, we should talk about some of the cool vehicles I saw. Cupra. Cupra was probably one of the coolest vehicles I think I saw there, because they're just so well designed and they just look cool.
Yeah. And we'll be seeing that brand in the U.S. apparently.
Oh, I hope so.
So I had a crazy week last week. You weren't here for it. First of all, last week was Mark Knopfler week in America.
Okay.
And for me, because Mark Knopfler's latest album, One Deep River, dropped, I think, Sunday night or Monday morning.
I don't know who it is. I'm just like, who's Mark Knopfler?
Oh, man.
I got nothing.
Perhaps the greatest living guitarist.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, the guy that wrote Sultans of Swing way back when.
Okay. Right,
we'll talk later.
Yeah, I'm like, maybe you'll send me
anyway,
a link.
New Mark Knopfler album.
Okay.
While I'm driving the Lincoln Nautilus with Revell Audio.
Oh, now that like, if you are a music fan, listening to anything with having Revell Audio.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then Saturday night, I was on with Steve and Johnny, and we talked about cars and Mark Knopfler.
Of course you did. Did you use Mark Knopfler as your bumper music?
I did.
Of course you did.
Yeah, his three songs from his new album, and then a song from an earlier album.
Got it.
So that was my Mark Knopfler week. But here's the thing. Sunday was crazy for me.
Okay.
A lot of things happened. I want to talk about my Sunday. That's how we're going to fill this segment.
My Sunday was a travel day.
Our friend, Robert Colangelo.
Yes.
Just bought a Tesla Model Y.
Okay.
He took advantage of the deals they're making, and they're really great deals, and he bought a Model Y, and he bought an all-wheel drive, a dual-motor long-range car that has the full self-driving.
Okay.
And he invited me to meet him somewhere between us. He lives in Valparaiso, Indiana.
Yep.
So we met near Midway Airport. This isn't going to mean anything to anyone who isn't in Illinois, but we met near Midway to drive his Tesla.
Okay.
And to try out full self-driving.
Okay.
What a day. Now, here's the thing. On the way there, I tried out Lincoln's Blue Cruise 1.2 system, which is in the Nautilus that I'm driving right now, that has the kick-ass audio system.
Yes.
That system, like General Motors Super Cruise, only works on mapped highways.
Correct.
And right now, there's only about 170,000 mapped miles that you can use a Lincoln on, but I took interstates there.
Yeah.
And with the exception of the fact that for some reason on the drive down to where I met Robert, it kicked me out 5 times.
Okay.
I don't know why, except one was a very busy exchange.
Okay.
A lot of cars, a lot of exchanges, a lot of decisions to be made.
So did you have the Nautilus with the screen?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
No, the Nautilus is a fantastic car. But the Blue Cruise system worked really well.
Yes.
Hands-free.
Yes.
Hands off the steering wheel. It really knows when you're not looking.
Yeah, it does.
You are required to follow the road, to be looking at the road, and take over at any time it decides that you should take over. And at one point, Robert texted me, and I just picked up my phone to look real quick, and I got yelled at by the car.
Yeah, and like if you're wearing sunglasses, like, and you move your eyes, it can tell that too. Because it has an infrared camera that's watching your face and watching your eyes, and it can see through your sunglasses. So don't think you can put on sunglasses and use that as a trick.
So I couldn't help but be generally impressed by this system. It centers in the lane. It doesn't go back and forth like it's going between the gutters.
And that was a big complaint previously with Blue Cruise, is that it did a lot of wobbling.
Yeah, this does not do that.
No, it is. So I've had the opportunity to drive the Blue Cruise on the Corsair, the new Corsair, as well, the 1.2
system. The smallest
system.
Car.
Yep. And then on the Nautilus at the drive program. And the 1.2 system is way better.
Yeah, it works. If you tap the turn signal, it will change lanes for you.
Mm-hmm.
Very effective. It does a nice job of matching speed. It everything about it worked really, really well. Now, on the way back from where I met Robert, about 30 miles, it didn't force me to take over at all.
Okay.
Maybe traffic was lighter. Maybe the roads were better marked in the reverse direction. Mm-hmm. But I told you this before we started the show. I tried to trick it into taking me up an off-ramp.
Yes.
And it would not do that.
No. No, it will not.
It's a dedicated lane. So for people in the Chicagoland area, I was taking 90 west to 53 north. It's a very, very easy, gentle ramp.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a dedicated lane for it. So I thought it would follow the dedicated lane. But no, I had to take over. So just a disappointment, not a fault or problem with the system. System works super well.
Yeah. Now,
so
when I had the Corsair and I drove down to Indianapolis in it, and I literally, because it's all highways, had it on the entire time and found it worked really well. I only, like, it did have me take the wheel a couple of times when we were going through construction. I feel like when it can't see the lane lines.
It's looking for the lane markers.
And I had one instance, which was, and this is why you must pay attention. I had one instance where there was an exit ramp. And the car, like at 70 miles an hour, started to make the turn onto the exit ramp, like a really quick jerk to the right. And I was like, oh, heck no, and had to like take control really quick. And it didn't tell me to take control or anything, but it started to make the turn onto the turn ramp. But it only happened once.
So this gets me to a very interesting point about the system. So the General Motors Super Cruise system, the Ford Blue Cruise system, do not sync up with the navigation system.
No.
They will not change directions or make decisions for you.
Yeah.
This gets us to full self-driving.
It gets us to Tesla.
Tesla, full self-driving.
Yes.
And we drove, Robert Colangelo and I drove his Tesla from Palos Heights to Midway Airport.
Okay.
And it was like a 20-minute drive or so, 25-minute drive. And the system was flawless.
And this does sync up to navigation, yeah?
It does. He actually programmed, thank you, because that's the point I wanted to make. He programmed in Midway Airport, and the car took us there. There's an asterisk now coming in a moment, a punchline, and I'll get to that, and it's a bummer. But this worked really well. And at one point, we came to a big steel bridge that was crowded. There was construction near it, and an ambulance was coming our way down the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard bad things about Teslas, full self-driving and ambulances, or flashing lights in general. No problem.
Okay.
Here's the bad. Oh, and it does kind of granny around corners.
Okay.
Perfect radius. Like, but it slows down a lot.
Just like me.
Yeah, a little bit. Like if you're behind a Tesla in full self-driving mode, you're going to be a little irritated.
Okay.
You're gonna be like, who's the grandma?
So if you're behind a Tesla and you're annoyed, it's probably using full self-driving.
Yes. Yep. Just like if you're behind a Prius that's going really slow, it's probably some weird hypermiler.
Who we know and love.
Here's the bad thing about full self-driving. Now, full self-driving is now free.
Yes.
For 90 days.
90 days.
For new owners of Tesla products.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's $99 a month, or you can buy it, which for some exorbitant amount of money, that makes no sense.
Right. And $99, I feel like they just dropped the price on that.
By half.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was $199. Which was too much.
Right.
But 99 might be too much. Here's the problem. Are you ready for the weirdness?
I'm ready for the weirdness.
We're driving this thing. Robert's got his hands off the wheels, and he gets called to put his hand on the wheel, though the vehicle is in no distress.
Right.
We stop to read the message, and I should have known this going in because I did a lot of research about FSD.
Mm-hmm.
You have to now keep your hands on the wheel at all times. It's not hands-free.
So it's fake self-driving.
It's fake self-driving, yes.
That's FSD. What FSD is.
You have to have your hands on the wheel, and it will do the stuff for you. It'll take your hand with you as the wheel turns. But I don't know entirely what this gets you. And Robert made a very interesting point about this. We recorded this, and I may use this recording as a bonus episode.
Okay.
When it's edited. But he felt that he was not relaxed and that he was actually at a higher sense of alertness because he was afraid he's going to be called to action at any given time. Now, he did say that over the 20 minutes that he was using the system, he started to feel more relaxed about it, but keeping his hand on the wheel seemed to defeat the purpose of having full self-driving.
Yeah, and you know, and it's really funny because both Ford and Lincoln, Ford and Lincoln and General Motors, their self-driving systems on the highway, the whole point of those systems is to defatigue,
right?
Not to freak you out.
And it is surprisingly relaxing to sit back and just look out the window.
Yeah.
Even if you have to keep your eyes on the road. Now the drive down there from Palatine, Illinois, to Palos Heights, Illinois, is kind of weird. There's things like quarries and weird construction. So it's interesting to watch. And I kept getting busted for not looking ahead. But it didn't shut down the system.
Right.
In fact, the Lincoln system is really good about returning to operation. Like at any given time, even if it has you grab the wheel for a while, it'll show up, the light will show up, it'll show the hands on the wheel, and it'll say hands free, and you can just take your hands off again.
Yeah.
So it doesn't cancel. You don't have to restart. You don't have to reset it. So that's nice.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is that the Tesla system works in the city, which the other two systems don't. They only worked on mapped
highways. Stop signs, traffic lights, all of that. The
traffic.
So I have a friend in California who has, I think it's a Model 3, and we went to go get a pizza in his Model 3, and he had the system engaged. And I think it was before you had to keep your hands on the wheel the entire time.
Uh-huh.
But he told me he was keeping his hands on the wheel all the time because he didn't trust the system. But, yeah.
YouTube is filled with videos of the system not working.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not our experience. When Robert and I took this thing out, it worked perfectly. It was amazing how well it worked. And it worked through the navigation system.
Mm-hmm.
And someday, God willing, it may actually work and you can keep your hands off the wheel. And you can just say, you know, Tesla Model Y, drive me to mom's house, and you don't have to do anything. But we are really far from that. This is really a step back now.
Yeah, why did Tesla do that?
Because they kept getting in trouble, right?
You call something autopilot and you expect to not get in trouble?
They called it autopilot and then they stepped up their game, right? And called it full self-driving, and it was neither. Neither of those was what they
were
called.
Not autopilot or full self-driving.
But people were doing it. And the system was easily defeated, or it wasn't calling people's attention to return their hands to the wheel.
Yeah.
And people were getting into trouble. But for the most part, it was working.
Yeah.
And so they were flooding the system and ultimately, I think now that they're trying to sell full self-driving, they have to comply.
Fake self-driving.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the interesting thing about these systems is they are 100% fallible. And, you know, I mentioned earlier the time that I was driving on the highway and it tried to take me on an exit really fast. But I've also had other instances, and I couldn't tell you what vehicle I was driving, if it was Blue Cruise, Super Cruise, or ProPilot Assist. I don't know what it was, but it was some kind of a hands-free system that I was in. And there was a flat paneled white van in front of me. And the vehicle just didn't see it and started to actually speed up. And I was just like, oh, hold on.
There have been reports of trouble with the Tesla system and white vans, mm-hmm. like the back of, you know, semi-trucks. So I wanted to talk about the Model Y itself.
Okay.
What a nice car.
What did you like about it?
Almost everything. So first big surprise, and I'm going to write an article about this, I think, tomorrow. It's smaller than I thought it was by a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's teeny.
It is not like Honda CR-V sized.
No.
We can call it a small crossover, but it's a
compact?
Probably subcompact.
Okay.
So a little small for me. I think Robert fit okay. But the interior design is incredibly clean and simple. There are no buttons anywhere, but on the steering wheel stock. Otherwise, you have a touchscreen.
Okay.
Very clean. Nice piece of wood along the dash.
Okay.
That runs from pillar to pillar on the front dash. Assembly quality seemed nice. Materials seemed nice. There's way, way, way too much going on the touchscreen. Like
yeah.
a lot of small print.
Yeah.
Like if you're an old guy like Robert and I, it's hard to find the small print you're looking for while you're driving.
You know, there was a Tesla recall for small print.
Yes, there was. Actually, it was too small. And they were able to fix that over the
air. But it's still small?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know what it was. I thought it was on the instrument panel.
It was for warning lights, and I don't know where that would appear.
Yeah. I need to go back to that recall because it was interesting. But they were able, it was like from 14 to 16 point they had to change it.
Yeah, and they recalled literally every Tesla.
Yeah, and then they fixed it overnight with an over-the-air update.
OTA, yeah.
Yeah. Which is interesting. But on the road, the car rides very firm. This had the standard 19s.
Okay.
Or was it standard 18s? But it had the standard wheels and tires.
Okay.
But the ride was very firm. Handling is great. Steering is surprisingly great. You know, we entered this world 10 years ago, so where hybrids started to kick in and electric power steering became normal. Mm-hmm. And it felt very vague and indifferent, and it didn't feel like you were driving. This has got really sporty, direct-feeling steering with really good feedback. I know it's all artificial, but it feels good. The throttle response is absolutely insane. This car is very, very fast.
Did you go to insane mode?
I did not.
Okay.
You don't need to. We were in chill mode,
and
it was still taking off like a bat out of hell. It was very quick, and I can see why tires are going to be destroyed. I absolutely see why EV tires.
Well, but I mean, do you think that after a week, 2 weeks of ownership, you get over the thrill of just like punching it every opportunity?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I think the thrill of just like pulling away from a stoplight, like you've just lit a bottle rocket,
mm-hmm.
I think that goes away. But the ability to just fill any gap in traffic when you're driving around the city, that never goes away because it's really a value of the vehicle.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a plus thing, and it's wonderful to drive it in traffic.
Yeah.
So I like the vehicle a lot, actually, and I expected to have more problems with the full self-driving, did not.
Okay.
I was very impressed by it in operation, but I was very depressed to find out that it's shackled to earth by legalese. You can't take your hand off the wheel. In fact, if Robert was busted 4 times for taking his hands off the wheel, mm-hmm. if you do it 5 times, you lose full self-driving.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know how you get it back.
Interesting. That would be, so if anybody out there knows, I'm sure there are Tesla owners out there who've
already blown it.
Who've already blown it. What mea culpa do you have to issue to be able to get or maybe is it just like you turn the vehicle off and you turn the vehicle back on and then it's available again?
I don't think it's that easy. I think this is legitimate legal letter, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't.
Okay, Tesla owners. What is the email address they should send it to?
Oh, just send us an email at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to know what happens because it's happening. People are absolutely timing out on that.
Do you know like when this new rule took effect?
I think it's always been the rule. They just haven't been enforcing it, and they haven't been serious about enforcing it.
So
I mean,
when
way
did they
back
get
when,
serious?
Where people were taking a nap in their Model S driving around the highway at 100 miles.
Yeah, people taking video of them doing that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. There was language saying they shouldn't do that,
but they weren't enforcing
they
it.
Weren't enforcing it.
So when did they actually start enforcing it?
I think with FSD. I think with this free beta test of FSD that everyone's got right now.
Okay. Huh?
I think they're taking it very seriously because there's, I forgot how many vehicles. I think 400,000 vehicles qualify for this right now.
Okay.
In the U.S.
So
it's cool as heck, but I don't know what the point is.
Yeah. Would not pay $99 a month for that.
Now, that said, when would I pay $75 for the Lincoln system once my free trial is over?
Yeah.
And I think on the Nautilus, it's 3 years. After that, it's
I think you're right.
I think it's $75 a month. And then GM system is cheaper. But I might pay for that if I did a lot of highway driving.
Yeah.
Very relaxing, very reliable.
Yeah.
Keeps you on pace. And the turn signal thing is just cool.
It is a little creepy cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, we're out of time here, but you remember that Lincoln's chimes and notes and tones were recorded by the Detroit Philharmonic or the
Symphony Orchestra, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Those get old.
Yeah.
Those are cool for a while.
The first week that you, or first, you know, couple of days that you have it. And then, I don't think there's a way to turn that off either.
And once you get tired of telling friends about it, you know what that is?
That's the Detroit Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah, and you get a few moments of satisfaction from that. Mm-hmm. And then you have to listen to it forever.
Yeah.
Forever. All right. That was my screed on full self-driving.
There you go.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we talk to Jamie Butters of Automotive News, my friend.
Yes, your friend.
Stick around.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom. She's Jill. Jill, jet lag, still back from, vacation?
Yes.
Barcelona, Valencia, not Milwaukee. Valencia,
but yeah, Milwaukee. Actually, Newark. I had the layover in Newark.
Well, that's exciting. People love Newark.
You know what? It really was exciting, and I'm hoping that we have time at the end of the show to discuss why.
Yeah, Newark, you had a weird airport experience.
I had a cool airport experience.
That was not bad.
That was not
usually
bad.
Usually when people have an airport experience, you just assume bad.
Yeah. I mean, I was delayed, but it turned into a good experience.
So we'll try to get to that.
Yes.
All right. This is the part of the show where I usually remind people, and I will today, that I'm on Twitter or X.
Yes.
I am Car Guy Tom.
Yes.
Car Guy Tom on Twitter. I use the Car Spotter hashtag. If you see a cool, all old, strange, rare car on the road, just post a picture of it. Use the Car Spotter hashtag, and I will share that with my 20 or 30 followers.
You have like two more than that.
All right. I'm excited today.
Yes, you are. You're very excited.
Jamie Butters is with us.
Yes.
I've been referring to Jamie as my buddy, as my friend for a long time, though I've never actually met Jamie, but I listen to him every day on the Daily Drive, on the Daily Drive podcast. But more importantly, he's the executive editor of Automotive News, quite possibly the most important publication in the auto industry. Jamie, how are you today?
I'm good. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. I have something to tell you real quick. It's my only complaint about Automotive News. I hope you're ready.
Okay, fire away.
All right, you can't read it in a hot tub. It melts.
That's a weird complaint.
Yeah, every Crane publication will melt in a hot tub. The steam just comes up, the ink starts to blur, and it's all over your hands. So that's a problem. Other than that, I love your publication, sir.
Thank you. I love putting it out.
But for people who don't know, tell us about Automotive News and what you do there.
Sure. We cover the auto industry really broadly. We cover automakers, suppliers, dealers are a big part of our audience. But we also cover, robo-taxis and all the other ancillary services around the industry. We really try to be comprehensive. Before this, I was at Bloomberg and I was at the Detroit Free Press and, pretty good places. I had maybe half a dozen people covering autos. And here I have multiples of that. And so it's a really great place if you want to cover the auto industry. We can do it, I'd say, better than anybody.
You do that, and I congratulate you on that. Well, fun story. I've been reading Automotive News since 1981. the Fremd High School Library actually had a subscription.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were in high school in 1981?
That's great.
I was.
Okay.
I'm old.
Okay.
Yeah, I was. But Jamie, you made a proclamation a couple of weeks ago that we were going to talk about. It took a while for us to get our schedules together, but I'm really interested in your decision and Automotive News' decision to name Tesla no longer a luxury manufacturer. Tell us about that and what that means.
Yeah, it was a group decision. We decided as an institution. Look, when Tesla came into the market, very expensive cars,
right?
They had to be expensive to pay for the batteries and not go broke. And so, they're typically six-figure vehicles. They were, some people sure were trading in Priuses to buy a Model S, but generally these were people who had, Mercedes and BMW, if not, Aston Martin and Rolls Royce in their garage. So it really was in the luxury space, even if some people in the industry didn't like thinking of it that way because maybe the design was too plain or the just the build quality, especially right. in those early years, right. was not what you would typically seek in a luxury experience. But I really defended it, aside from just the price point. The way Tesla used technology was kind of a new form of luxury, whether it's the, you know, highly advanced driver assistance systems with their inappropriate brand names, right. or just the over-the-air updates that add value over time. There were just a lot of, and the charging network itself is really kind of a luxury, or yeah, certainly was the more exclusive luxury at that time. But last year, I mean, in 2023, Tesla just slashed their prices. They really, for the first time in the company's history, they had more ability to supply vehicles than there was demand, at least at the prices they were offering. So when they came, you know, the Model 3 and the Model Y kind of came in as sort of mainstream luxury brands, luxury vehicles, $55,000, $65,000 prices.
Yeah.
Well, now they're down really in the heart of the market where, you know, most of the Ys are in the mid-40s. A lot of Model 3s are below 40. So they're really not even in the luxury space anymore in terms of their pricing. They're kind of at the industry average or below. And those two models made up 96% of Tesla's sales last year. Mm. So it just didn't seem like a fair fight to have them with, you know, Mercedes and BMW and Tesla. They really belong more with Toyota and Ford. Of course, that looked smarter a couple months ago when I said it, because partly I could argue, look at where the company is going. They were working on this Model 2, really trying to, you know, bring the price down even further. Something, you know, that could compete at the Corolla level on a global basis. And so clearly not trying to be exclusive, not trying to be luxury. Since then, we've seen reports that they've killed the Model 2. Maybe they've just delayed it. But I still stand by the fact that fundamentally this brand is no longer really a luxury brand. It's a mainstream brand, maybe trying to find, you know, wherever its next growth is going to come from. But that was our thinking. And you know, everybody's got an opinion. Some people say it never was luxury. Other people say it still is. And, you know, I welcome all the opinions, but I've got to make the decision. My team and I have to make the decision that we think is fair for us. And when they last year sold about as many vehicles in the U.S. as BMW and Lexus combined.
Yeah.
It really didn't seem like a fair fight anymore.
And speaking of that, and Tesla's future in the U.S., Tesla, we were talking about the price decreases, and Tesla has a unique ability relative to other manufacturers, it seems, to adjust its price kind of quickly. And this partly is because they don't have a dealer network that they have to deal with. But we have Christ, there was just a price increase last week, or decrease last week, I think, of another $1,000 on some models.
I feel like it was $2,000, but yeah, there was definitely a big price decrease.
What is Tesla ultimately doing? Like, this is helping them now, but they lost market share last year, right? They dropped from about 67% at the beginning of the year to about 50% at the end of the year. How far down do they really want to chase price to maintain market share? And what does this have to do? How does this work with capacity, plant capacity? Because they have a lot of factories with a lot of capacity. Can they give some of that up? Can they mothball parts of the plants? Or do they have to really maintain this huge volume?
Yeah, I think it's more the latter. It's about the capacity and profit maximization. I don't think that the obsession is really with market share, but with really, because they built up to about approaching 2 million vehicles worth of capacity, that's a lot to carry. We did see, it'd be hard to see them really going backwards and mothballing stuff. I guess that is possible. But we did see them delay plans to build the plant in Mexico.
Right.
Now they really have a site and we're planning to, it had seemed like the plan was build the plant in Mexico, make the cheaper Model 2 there, and try to, you know, double sales again. So I think they're just trying to really see what they can do to make, you know, where's the fine line to make the most possible money.
So, Jamie, Tesla has not officially said that they've mothballed the Model 2 plan, but they started talking about the robo-taxi that they want to build. And that seems like it's technologically still some time away, and that isn't going to match anywhere near the volume that a $25,000 car would have, would it?
No, it's a different ballgame. I mean, I do think there are challenges. They think they've kind of unlocked something with the way they're using cameras now. But, you know, there's huge regulatory challenges to trying to put robo-taxis out there. Elon Musk has talked about, you know, people could buy a car with a lot of extra technology on it, pay extra for it, but that let it go out and earn money for them as a robo-taxi when they don't need to use it, and then have it come home to them, you know, when they do. So that's one sort of model. Or, of course, they could simply put out their own fleet, you know, like an Uber, or partner with someone like an Uber or a Lyft, and try to work it that way and be, you know, the provider of hardware and the driving software, and charge a fee per mile that could be very lucrative for them. But as he's speculated, you know, it could still be cheaper for the consumer, cheaper to get around than even a $25,000 EV. So a lot of assumptions, and I think that's why the stock is under a lot of pressure. You know, it's not a slam dunk, right? If they could come out with a profitable $25,000 car, they would get a lot of sales.
Yeah.
And if they're making money on them, they would make a lot of money. But I think there's a lot of wariness that even if they could do, and this I think applies then to the whole industry, even if you can do a $25,000 car, what if the Chinese come in with a $14,000 car? You know, how can you really compete with that?
Right.
So just I think in the face of that uncertainty, Tesla's plan is to go, as Elon said, you know, balls to the wall on robo-taxis.
I wanted to get your thoughts on the UAW UAW Chattanooga vote, but I got one more question about Tesla, if you don't mind. Why do you think the public has suddenly seems to have cooled on Tesla? I've been reading a lot of thoughts that Tesla asks too much of conventional buyers. They don't have brick-and-mortar stores, so it's a little bit of a commitment to buy one and not know where you're going to get it serviced. Weirdness like yoke steering wheels, for example, and control. To open your glove box, you have to go through the navigation system. You know, it's just very complicated. Do you think that Tesla has gone as far as it can being unconventional, and maybe that's a wall they've hit lately?
I think that's possible. I think that's certainly, you know, one element of it. As we try to, we see the market kind of moving from the early adopters to sort of more of an early mass market, more of those people are likely to want to put their hands on the car, take it for a test drive, be able to go to the store and leave and maybe come back. Not that you can't do those things at a Tesla gallery, or, you know, you can arrange a Tesla test drive. I mean, I feel like I get emails all the time asking me if I want to test drive a Tesla. But some of the non-traditional factors could be a headwind moving into the mainstream. I think the other thing that, you know, we see some data on is as he's gotten more political, with his ownership of X, you know, formerly Twitter, I think that has turned off still. I hear from some EV intenders or EV owners, you know, who are like, anything but Elon. And, you know, there are some, of course, there's some like Toyota and Honda people who are really loyal and are just waiting and waiting for those companies to give them competitive EVs. But I do think the politics has become a headwind. And you're right. I mean, some of being a different way of selling has been an advantage with some consumers, and it's a disadvantage with some others.
Yeah. All right. We're running out of time here, Jamie, but I really want to get your thoughts on Chattanooga. Late Friday, the vote came in, and the workers at Volkswagen's Chattanooga plant have voted to unionize. Is this as big a deal as it feels like?
Well, it depends how big it feels, but you know, it's a pretty big deal. You know, it's like, I mean, I've been covering this industry for more than 25 years. I remember when I started out, I was in Lexington, Kentucky, and there was an effort there to get a vote. They didn't get far enough to even really have a vote. You know, we've seen efforts, and it kind of became like, you know, Charlie Brown trying to kick the football. And lo and behold, you know, they finally put one through the uprights. So it is a big deal. It is a landmark moment for the UAW to win an election in the South, in a right to work state. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a breakthrough. I don't know that it means all the other plants are going to fall like dominoes, right? I mean, We've got the next one that'll come up will be the Mercedes-Benz plant in Vance, Alabama, near Tuscaloosa. That's probably a tougher one. Sean Fain's used the same language about having a supermajority of cards, so maybe they have the same sort of demographic, you know, voting for them there. I think there will be some tougher locations that haven't been around as long. I think some of the companies with multiple locations, you know, Toyota and Honda, for instance, are going to probably push back harder than VW did. This was VW's only assembly plant that doesn't have representation. So they're pretty used to it. You know, they're the way they're operated at home in Germany, you know, they have a management board that's half labor and half management. So they're very used to working with a union. There may be more pushback from some of the other companies, but, you know, it is very interesting, and it is, you can no longer rule it out of hand because they've proven they can do it.
Yeah, no, and I want to put in a little bit of a plug for a couple of your Daily Drive episodes from last week where you had an interview with Sean Fain.
Which made him sound a lot more normal.
It made him sound human. because, I mean...
Those were good interviews.
They were great interviews. And, you know, a lot of what he said... I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And yeah, he didn't sound maniacal or evil or anything like that. And so, I mean, I want to put in a plug for that. So if anybody is like thinking about the UAW and what's going to happen in the South, they should definitely go back and listen to those two episodes, because it was like a 2-day episode where there was a continued interview with Sean Fain. And, you know, your Daily Drive episode from the weekend, you guys had recorded it before the vote came in, but it was also an interesting episode where you kind of talked a little bit about the what ifs.
Thanks, Jill. Yeah, that was last Monday and Tuesday. We ran Mike Martinez's interview with Sean Fain over two episodes. And, you know, the way I explain it, I mean, like, if all you remember is the guy wearing the Eat the Rich shirt, you know, then yes, you should listen to that and get a little better sense of him. You know, look, the task is different. The task of organizing is different than negotiating.
Yeah.
Negotiating is inherently confrontational, and organizing is about, you know, trying to pull people together, find your common ground with the people. You know, in a couple of days, they should get the election certified by the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board. They'll begin trying to negotiate a contract with Volkswagen, and we might see the fire and brimstone Sean Fain right back again in Chattanooga.
We should, right? It should be the exact same thing. They should be going back to the grind to hammer something out here.
Yeah. I mean, if they want to just accept the Detroit 3's pattern, might go through really smoothly. But if they want to say, we think the contract should be similar to the way things are now, maybe we give you a little bit of a raise, I think they'll get more pushback than that.
Yep.
And it could be tense.
Jamie, we run out of time. If people want to learn more about automotive news, where do they go?
Autonews.com is our website. We're also on all the platforms, podcast, video, print, of course. Just don't take it in the hot tub.
Unless you're using your phone, you could take your phone in the hot tub.
You can. That's true.
As long as you've got something dry to keep the steam off it.
Yes.
There you go. Jamie, thank you so much for your time today.
Anytime.
That was Jamie Butters with Automotive News. We're going to take a break, and when we come back...
Quiz time.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom. She's Jill. You do social media stuff, too.
I do social media stuff.
Between us and the quiz is your explanation of your social media situation.
It's my moment.
Yeah.
It's my moment.
I hadn't thought of it as that important.
It is very important. It's my moment. No, you don't want to hear me sing.
Did you pick a donut?
I did not pick a donut yet.
Oh, all right.
Sorry.
Chocolate and red velvet.
I'm
jet lagged.
Oh. Today. Maybe red velvet. I don't know. At any rate, social media.
Where were we?
I'll post a picture of the donuts on Facebook. But I'm on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn, Threads, Post, all the things. TikTok is kind of mad at me at the moment.
Oh.
I have to tell you a funny story. I am 5 feet tall. And I posted a video on my TikTok, and I called it Short Girl Problems. And I was doing a review of the Alfa
Romeo. And it was you trying to get out of your house, but you couldn't reach the doorknob.
No, it was me reviewing the Alfa Romeo Stelvio Quadrifoglio, trying to get into the vehicle over the very large bolstered seats.
Oh, interesting.
And I also talked a little bit about driving position, but like I titled the video Short Girl Problems, and it's a little bit about like how, you know, some problems that I had and some things that they did really well to overcome my short girl problems. And TikTok disqualified the video, and they said it was a security risk and that it was offensive. And I'm like, who's it offensive to?
I watched it. I was deeply offended.
Were you offended?
Yeah. Deeply.
Because I like went back and I changed the name of the video and I called it Jill Problems.
Yeah.
Instead of Short Girl Problems, because I think that they must have thought that I was making fun of short people.
I do.
I'm short. I'm allowed to make fun of short people because I am also short.
Yeah.
I'm just
interesting.
Saying.
You know what? I was going to mention the seats in the Tesla Model Y are pretty firmly bolstered.
Okay.
You would probably like those.
They're not
aggressively sized, but they're firm.
I didn't not like the seats in the Stelvio. The problem that I had was just getting over them to get into the car. Like a weird, awkward thing.
You run into that situation with things like BMWs where you get like very aggressive sport seats and then a relatively small door open. If you're a big guy like me, you're like, oh, hell, I'm walking.
Yeah, you're like, never mind, I cannot get into that.
And once you're in, things are fine.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Mercedes SLS?
Yes.
Hyper sports car. I was at a rally, and then we had it passed around the local media. And I didn't want anyone to see me drive it because I barely fit in it. And it was really low to the ground. And I had to actually kneel on the ground to get into the car. So I would always park it near a wall so people wouldn't see me getting in and out.
That's kind of that actually shows some flexibility if you have to kneel to get in.
Yeah. Boy, that car, though.
Yeah.
Boy, oh, boy.
Yeah, that was
SLS.
A cool one.
People should just look for a picture of it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like to call it the Batmobile.
A little bit, because it had gullwing doors.
Yeah.
One of the funny things, too, a guy that used to be with Mercedes, Rob, I won't name the rest of it.
I know Rob.
He's a smaller adult, very, very dapper, had a nice suit and everything. But at the rally that we saw this car at, Mercedes had sponsored dinner, he had nailed getting into that car. And he's like short, 5'6", 5'7", something like that.
Maybe just not. Don't make a video about short guy problems.
And he used to reach up to the door, like kind of leap up, and then let it pull it down and land into it perfectly.
Yeah.
Like a Batman nailing a landing in a Batmobile.
No, that's a thing.
He had it nailed.
I could nail that as well. I was going to say, that's exactly what you do. You have to reach up and then you go in.
If I tried that, ambulance.
Okay.
All right. Did you finish your social media thing?
Yeah. Short girl problems. That was the thing. Oh, but Jill Simonello. That's where you find me.
Okay.
That was the kicker there. Is you find me at Jill Simonello, and I use the hashtag car du jour. I will not be using the hashtag short girl problems.
All right.
Yeah.
Last week, Brendan Appel was here.
Yes.
And he got the quarterly sales quiz.
Okay.
So you don't get that.
Woohoo!
But before we had the conversation today, Jamie was kind enough to send us to a link to an article about EV sales.
Yes.
And I'm quoting that. So if you remember that, you're gold.
Oh, I did not read that. Sorry, Jamie.
All right. This is best-selling EV brands in February.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. I'm just going to give you a brand. Two brands. You have to tell me which one sold redder.
Okay.
Redder. Better.
Redder, better.
I am way off my enunciation game today.
You are, and I'm the one who's jet-lagged.
Yeah, I am drunk.
Okay, so that's not just tea in your cup, I see.
No, that's bourbon.
Oh, got it. That's a really dark bourbon.
Yeah. All right, are you ready?
Yes.
Which sold better in February, the EVs of Ford or the EVs of Hyundai?
I'm going to say the EVs of Hyundai.
No.
Oh.
Ford by a lot.
Well, you know, Ford dropped their prices by a lot.
They need to stop screwing with their prices.
Yeah, they really
do. That's messing with the public.
Tesla's messing with their prices, which is making Ford mess with their prices, which is making everybody
mess
with
the ripple effect is there. But Ford started that right out of the chute. When they launched the F-150, there was that $40,000 work truck.
Yeah, and then
that
it was $48,000, and then
It went to 60.
Yeah.
They raised the price 50%, and no good. But Ford, you know this, they introduced a new model of the Lightning called the Flash.
Yes.
And the Flash, and I want to know how that's selling, because it was priced to be just under the $75,000 threshold,
mm-hmm.
or is it $80,000?
And I thought it was right at 70.
So whatever the threshold yeah. was to qualify for the federal tax credit.
So, oh, yeah. For a truck, I think it's under 80.
It's 80.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this truck works under that.
So maybe
that.
It's $79,000.
They just
yeah.
added a new trim level to yeah. sneak it in there. I want to know how that's working for them.
Yeah, because and what the flash is, and I'm a little bit hazy on the details because I feel like it's been a while since I either read or wrote the article. But it basically does some packaging things.
Yeah.
And it puts a lot of the popular packaging items together all in one thing. And then I think you get a, like, Flash logo somewhere.
Yeah.
And then maybe, like, when you open the door, it says Flash. Ah.
I don't think it does that. That's also a weird cultural reference for you.
I know it is. I saw it on reruns.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Anyway, you have no points.
No points.
All right.
Your favorite phrase.
Yeah, we have 10 minutes here. Which sold better in terms of EVs, BMW or Mercedes in February?
BMW.
Yes. BMW 3,559, Mercedes 2,808. And actually, BMW is doing really well with EVs. And part of the reason is they're hitting a lower price point.
Yeah.
A little bit more fun, a little bit more sporty. Mercedes can't give away the S-Class, the EQS. Apparently, there's huge rebates on that.
Interesting. Well, you know, when I was in on vacation last week, I did see a lot of BMW EVs in Europe.
Did you?
I did not see a single Mercedes EV.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, I really like the Mercedes EQB, their small crossover,
okay.
but the range is limited.
Yeah, I haven't driven that one.
Nice car.
Hmm.
It's a better car with the EV.
Okay.
All right, you have 1 point. Cadillac Lyra, I'm sorry, Cadillac or Nissan?
Hmm.
Which sold more EVs in February?
Well, so since Cadillac is only selling the Lyriq.
The
Lyriq. So it's the Lyriq versus the Leaf and the Aria.
Yeah.
And I've given a lot of grief to Nissan previously because I feel like they're not appropriately advertising their EVs.
I don't know what it is about the Aria.
I love the Aria.
It's very good.
That's one of my favorite EVs.
Yeah,
that's
their compact crossover.
I'm going to say Cadillac.
Yep. Not by a lot. 1976 versus 1954. But the Lyriq has caught fire.
Yeah. The Lyriq is, we drove it. It was great.
It's nice. It looks good. I'll be glad to see more of those on the road.
Me too.
Because they're good looking.
Yeah. And by the way, if you missed the episode where we reviewed the Lyriq, please go back and Google that.
Yep. All right. You have two. You're
okay.
in good shape. You need to get one more. The rules are you need to get three. Total out
yes.
of the five and the
yes.
bonus question.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to the bonus question.
Great.
Fisker or GMC? More EV sales in February. I had to look something up about this, too.
Well, I'm trying to think if the GMC... Oh, so Hummer. I'm like, does GMC have an EV available? Hummer.
I had to check. The Sierra is not yet on sale.
No.
That would be their full-size pickup. The Chevy is...
I'm going to go with Fisker.
Yes.
Because they've deeply discounted.
Well, this is February, so
okay.
is pre-discount.
But I thought that the... I'm like... March is when it happened. Okay, yeah, I'm going to say Fisker because, I mean, they're not selling a lot of the Hummers.
940 Fiskers, 490 GMCs. So that is just the Hummer.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't seem to be working very hard to get those out the door.
No.
You've already won.
Woo! You know what I find funny about the Hummer number is the fact that they had, like, I feel like it was 90,000 or 100,000 pre-orders, and they've only been able to sell, like, 3,000 vehicles.
Yeah, and then part of that was the Ultium launch issues with the battery,
right.
or so we're told.
Yeah.
We don't know. I don't know what the deal is there. All right, you've already won, but Subaru versus VinFast in February.
Ooh, because Subaru only has the Solterra.
Solterra.
And
which is their version of the Toyota BZ4X.
Which I also saw in Europe, by the way, the BZ4X, not the Solterra. But the VinFast, is it the VF9?
Yep.
Is on sale to many bad reviews.
Many
bad reviews.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with the Solterra.
You are correct. Not by a lot. 330, actually super close. You almost couldn't get this one wrong because it's a tie, really. Subaru 388, VinFast 331. The VinFast, just the VF9,
mm-hmm.
which is their three-row crossover, that starts at 80 grand. For a brand-new maker from a nation people don't expect to buy cars from,
yeah,
with a new technology, coming out of the gate at 80 grand, that's a mistake.
Yeah.
You got 4 out of 5. Nice.
Wow. That definitely ups my game from the past couple of weeks where I was getting like
back.
0 out of whatever.
You're back.
Yeah.
Now, if you get this one.
Okay.
You're set.
Which you're excited for.
Yes, I am. Our topic today is your favorite music.
Oh, yay.
All right. I'm going to read you 4 albums. You have to tell me which one is fake. And here's the fun part about this. Mm-hmm. Of the ones that aren't fake, they're actually on my phone right now.
Of course they are.
Yeah. Are you ready?
No.
I'm just going to give you the album name, not the band name, the album name.
The album name. All right.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Trout Mask Replica.
Okay.
Live in Cook County Jail. Machine Gun Etiquette. Velvet Brisket. You were like cooking brisket last week, weren't you?
No,
you're on vacation.
But I'm probably having brisket for dinner tonight because it's Passover and I'm going to my mother-in-law's house.
Passover's really late.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so happy Passover to those who celebrate.
The place where Catholic and Jewish holidays meet is always very confusing.
Yeah, and Jewish and Catholic holidays did not meet at all this year.
No.
Yes.
We'll see what happens with, this is Passover.
Yes.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with Christmas and
Hanukkah
this year.
Yep.
All right, you want me to read those again?
No, because I'm going to go with your brisket, velvet, whatever.
Is the fake?
Yeah.
You're correct.
Huh?
Nice job. Yeah.
Wow.
No album on my phone called Velvet Brisket. Trout Mask Replica, that is Captain Beefheart.
I've never heard of that
Live
band.
In Cook County Jail is B.B. King. It's one of the greatest live albums of all time.
Okay.
Like, you should maybe have heard about that one.
No, I haven't.
Machine Gun Etiquette is The Damned. Great band.
Never heard of them
British
either.
British punk band.
I've heard of B.B. King, and that's about it. I couldn't tell you anything. He sings, but I've heard the name.
B.B. King is like the most he as it gets.
Okay, good luck.
An enormous man.
I don't know.
Plays a guitar named Lucille.
I've heard the name, but like could not tell you anything else.
All right, we have run out of time, sort of, but you had 3 things you wanted to talk about. You have 4 minutes. Pick one.
You know what? I'm gonna kind of slide into 2. So I'm going to say go to pickuptrucktalk.com and read my article about the BYD Seagull. And we can maybe talk about that next week a little bit more the following week.
An addendum to that, and I haven't read your article yet, but it's very important because BYD, by the way, owned in part by Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But they are making a $10,000 electric vehicle.
Yep.
And it could be a threat to America. They might build them in Mexico. There's a lot going on here politically.
Yep.
It's a super interesting story if they can get this done.
Yep.
We don't know for sure they're making money on these things, but BYD probably is because it's not one of the companies owned by the Chinese state. It's privately owned, and they seem quite successful.
Yep. So
all right.
Go check that out.
I will link to that article.
Thank you.
Remind me if I don't because I always forget.
Yeah. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about is my layover in Newark.
Which, Newark, a lot of fun. People like to get stuck in Newark.
So we flew from Barcelona to Newark, from Newark to Chicago, and I was only supposed to have like about an hour layover and turned into 2 hours because my flight was delayed. And I got an invitation via email from United to go to a restaurant called Classified. And it's a speakeasy in the back of another restaurant in the Newark airport, and it's by invitation only.
Did you get this after it was clear you were going to be delayed?
No, I got it. You get it 24 hours before you're going to be in. And I was going to ignore it because I was like, I'm not going to have enough time.
Yeah.
And then as we are coming in for a landing in Newark, I was just like, oh, we're going to have enough time. And so I made the reservation while I was landing and hoofed it over to where it was. I'm not going to tell you where it is. Went in, and it's like a little 36 seat restaurant with a view of the planes on the runway and a very posh menu.
Yeah, you said it was classy and expensive.
It was classy and expensive, and I was like, even if I go and just order water, I have to go in and check it out. It was very cool. I did not just order water.
So you think you got this because you're a high mileage United customer?
Yeah.
And okay. And then did you find the experience relaxing?
Yes.
Okay.
It was cool. The staff were great, you know, and it was just, it was super cool. I think I made it public on my Facebook page, but I posted some photos. I posted a copy of the email that I, you know, the invitation, but it was just, I didn't know this existed. I got the email. I didn't think it was anything special. And then I went in and I was like, oh no, this is very special.
And is this, it clearly invitation only?
Yeah. And there's like a URL you can go to, and I don't know what it is, but like I think it's like united.com/classified maybe, and you can put in your mileage plus number and see if you would qualify for an invitation in the future.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But it was really cool. So I don't know exactly why I got the invitation other than I'm high mileage and maybe I was flying internationally.
No, you're high maintenance.
Well, that's also true. Yeah. My husband would agree with you. But
that's
PETA,
very cool.
PETA, I think, is his nickname for me. But no, so it was very cool. And I don't know, and I've tried to do a little bit of research to figure out why I got this invitation, who gets invited, and there is no explanation.
Well, that makes it more fun.
Yeah.
Not knowing what it is makes it more fun.
Yeah, but it's really cool. It's out there. If you get the invitation and you're thinking about ignoring it, don't do it.
That was just like the time I got an email from Tesla inviting me to drive the Model X.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a Tesla store, drove the Model X. The woman I met there, mm-hmm. not very nice and not very interested in me. And she played with her phone the entire time I was test driving, didn't mm-hmm. talk to me. After I was done, we shook hands. I'm like, well, can I schedule a test car, you know, for the office? She goes, of course, you've got my email. She never responded to an email again.
Yep. Nope.
Like that window of opportunity where I had Tesla's attention was, yeah. It was
done.
Like 1 hour by 1 hour. That was it.
It was actually a minute. In the first minute, you lost her.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly. So guess what we did?
We talked about some cool things and ran out of time.
Yeah. My old friend, Jamie Butters.
Yes. Your old friend. My running buddy, Jamie Butters.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah. He can't be perfect. Thanks to Jamie Butters of Automotive
totally
Knows. Thank you for being in studio today. Thank you to producer Randy and the good folks here at TalkZone. As always, special thanks to my friends and mentors, Steve and Johnny.
Yep.
Let's talk more about cars again.
Next week.
Remember to check us out at consumerguide.com.
The Car Stuff Podcast is produced by J-Turn Media.
To advertise on the show, please drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.